PJ, how are you doing?
I'm good.
An undisclosed time in the future.
We're just as drunk as before, and
definitely
people can
the
tell.
Same.
Definitely uh-huh. the same night. Definitely just now. In the interim, when we paused recording for just a couple seconds, obviously, I went and picked up a Mermaid's Yes.
Ooh. That sounds tasty. Nice.
Yeah,
nice. Ooh, looks good, too. I like that can art.
It's literally a crayon drawing.
Yeah, I know. It's like a child was like drawing and having fun.
Yeah. Imperial fruited sour with mango, orange, strawberry, pineapple, blackberry, and kiwi.
Wow.
From Lupulin and Talking Waters.
It's like a lot of things thrown at all.
There's a lot of
PJ,
things.
During our just seconds break that we took here, I'm having a Voodoo Ranger Juice Force IPA.
Perfect.
Just to finish up this episode. You know, we got a couple of voicemails. We got like one other question left to kind of round us out here for the most part. So excited to, you know, it was a break, but we're back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We figured 4 hours of recording wasn't enough. So
yeah, right. 4 hours of meticulously answering a bunch of questions that everyone sent in. Mm-hmm. No, it was very good and appreciate it. And if we missed any, please let us know. And maybe we'll just tuck in an answer on the end of episodes. I believe that I hit everything that was submitted in the Google form outside of some of Kelsey's. Kelsey submitted 6 for us as a laundry list. We're going to do one more of those, but yeah, on the whole. But we wanted to do the voicemails, which is the big part here. So we're going to jump right into those before kind of wrapping up this episode. So our first voicemail here is from Ken.
Yes, hi. My name is Ken. It's Ken. I was just calling to see, I had a question for your 200th episode. Who is your favorite host of Howler Pod and why is it Ben? For me personally, I feel like he's just, you know, extremely handsome, smart, funny, witty, humble. And that's why I like him so much. I was wondering if you guys were on the same page or, you know, maybe you like Aaron too. That's probably okay. Also, congrats on 200 episodes. My favorite episodes were probably all the episodes with Howler Pod on them because they're so amazing. But you guys are pretty awesome too. Really good dudes. One more question. If there was one single piece of media that you had to choose that you've done a podcast on, what would be your single favorite thing? So of all the things that you've read, watched, et cetera, and podcasted about, what is your single favorite thing? And if it's a series, you know, what's your single favorite book? I mean, you have to get down to the very final degree with this. So I want you guys to put yourself through it and make a decision. No wishy-washy. You can't choose two. I want one thing. Okay. Thanks. This has been great. Congratulations again. Ken is out. Ken's out. Bye.
Ken's question is single favorite thing we listened to on the podcast. So clap out of it again just to give like the zone.
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1. All right, Ken. Mr. Kennethan.
So to answer your first question, obviously Ben.
Yeah, it has to be Ben.
It has to be Ben.
He's too handsome.
Too handsome is one. Yeah. Doesn't threaten me all the goddamn time is another.
True.
I think those embody most of the reasons, I think.
Yeah, most for sure. Definitely.
Favorite thing that we've
covered. Yeah, the series question. Right. This is hard. This is a tough one. And like the no hedging, no side bets, no secondary things.
Yeah, no qualifications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No picking multiples.
Dark Age by Pierce Brown.
Short board. Really? You're off the rip. You're ready. You Dark Age was your favorite thing that we've done.
I think so. I can't help but think about it as my favorite book of the series, and it's my favorite series that we've covered. It's just so goddamn good. Yeah.
It is so goddamn good. There's no doubt there. You know, and we did for patrons a little bit ago. We also did a like tier ranking podcast and kind of like walked through what we ranked and like what we thought. And I believe that was your first place choice, I think, overall.
It was.
You may have edged it out with, or like we may have collectively, I forget exactly how that sorted out itself, but you can go listen to the episode. We also have an image, but yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I am torn. I'm actually pretty torn right now. I'm glad that you came in without any equivocation. We're just ready on the rip. Are there any reasons that you think that in particular was your favorite outside of favorite book, favorite series? Like, you know,
I mean,
the depth of the reason that it is the.
I think we also covered it really well. I think mm-hmm. we were in our like in a groove. We were well polished and it was coming back. Was it coming back to? No, it wasn't coming back to Red Rising. We didn't take a break between mm-hmm. there. So we were just steamrolling through it. And I think we really were in a good place with our recording schedule and the podcast. And in general, it felt really good.
Yeah, I like that choice. It's one of those two that feels like, you know, in my memory, I remember both Iron Gold and Dark Age very fondly because of the amount of like sort of extra textual and like things that I got to bring in from outside and kind of like inform what was going on, which was very interesting. It was probably the most actual real life research heavy that anything was. So that definitely holds like a special place for me too. I definitely understand that. I am torn, but I'm not going to tell you why, because the goal here is just to pick a favorite, be decisive about it. And so with that in mind, I think I'm going to do Jade War. I think I'm good on Jade War. I've mentioned before, Jade War is not my favorite thing. Oh, this is interesting. I'm thinking about it from a coverage perspective, not from a piece of media. That was a whoopsie. I have to redact that. I'm sorry. The favorite thing that we've covered on the show, in my estimation, is The Thief of Always, and it's not even close.
Yeah, that's like, fair.
Truly, it's not. I was trying to think of the way that we've covered it. But like my favorite set of episodes that we've created personally, you know, I would go, this Dark Age Iron Gold one's really good. We really like hit something special in the Greenbone in Jade War, I think, which is why like I remember, I think, those the most fondly. It was very creative and very exciting. And that was kind of when it all hummed together really well, I think.
And so, by the way, Ken, if you're listening to this, thank you for the question. And if you haven't listened to our coverage of the Greenbone Saga, you might find that there's somebody who sounds fairly similar to you.
Mysteriously. Mysteriously like you, Ken. So my definitive answer for favorite thing we've covered is The Thief of Always. Yeah. But my favorite coverage that we've provided, which is a different answer, is Jade War. Different question. Not a question you asked. So.
Perfect. Should we move on to the next voicemail?
Yeah, let's move on to the second voicemail. Ken had a follow-up question.
Oh, God.
Yes, hi. Ken again here. One more question for you. I am about to start playing Dungeons & Dragons for the first time in my entire life, and I was wondering if you had any suggestions or pointers for a first timer, like what should I do? How should I go about this? Like, what do I need to know? What do I need to know as a first timer? Thanks. I'll listen off air. Ken here. Bye.
All right, Ken. Mysterious sounding Ken. appreciate the question about Dungeons and Dragons and any suggestions for first timers. This is interesting. So, you know, I would almost ask a follow-up question of like, are you playing or are you DMing? I assume you're playing, given the context, probably playing a character. And so, yeah, PJ, where would you start with advice?
Don't be afraid just to be really silly about it. Like, you don't have to do a funny voice. You don't have to do anything like that. That's fun. That's a lot of fun and can make for some great memories. But really try to put yourself into the shoes of the character that you're trying to play and just have fun with it. Let loose. And like, who gives a shit about getting the rules wrong? Who, like, ask questions when you have them, but let things rip and really try to embody your character as much as you can, because that makes for such a fun time.
Yeah, to extend off of that, because I agree, I think that would actually be probably my number one piece of advice. When you get into different situations, don't worry about it being optimal or inoptimal. This isn't a video game in which you need to min-max or like do anything like that generally. Some people in your party or your group may play that way, but just like do it for the reason that your character would. And like kind of just try to get into that headspace, to kind of reiterate what PJ's saying. Like, just as much as you can think about, and like, This comes up with sort of the second piece of advice that I would want to provide. Figure out the type of game that you're playing with the type of people that you're playing. That happens at like a session zero or in like an early meeting, or maybe even the first time that you sit down at the table. But just try to get kind of like a definition around what you're doing and how you're doing it, and sort of what the intent is that everyone's trying to get out of the thing. And then let that help guide your character building and how you're going to play and interact during the session. But don't worry about being optimal. You know, you maybe don't want to like be suboptimal all the time, like you're trolling or something like that. But you can definitely play around and do things the way that your character would. Providing an example from an unreleased season of Tales of Kana or Catacomb Party at the moment, there have been a couple of moments where each of our characters have made, you know, like objectively bad choices in combat because it was the right thing that our character would do. And that leads to more interesting results in the end and leads to scenarios that become somewhat unpredictable. We had a couple of characters that had a great fall that could have led to many characters' deaths as a part of a sequence that led to some of the most like incredible and unique moments I think that we've had at the table. So yeah, don't be afraid to play suboptimally.
And just because we're stacking on top of each other, this is tangential, but as far as play styles go, remember that the DM isn't your adversary. They're your friend. And they want to have fun too. And the whole point is for everybody to have fun. They're not trying to kill you. You don't have to try to overcome them. Just remember that you're all a group of friends playing a game together, even though the DM is sometimes controlling the enemies that your characters are fighting.
Yeah, to put it into context, most reasonable DMs hate killing player characters. They actually actively dislike it because they think that they've done something seriously wrong. And the goal of my goal, whenever I've DM'd, is not to kill someone, unless that is something, again, like the vibe that I talked about that you need to figure out at the table. Unless the vibe is like a super dangerous campaign that you're playing, we're going to be doing really risky things, in which case, okay, that's sort of the stakes, and everyone knows that going into it. But killing a player character, A, is bad and mean sometimes, depending on the table, but also provides consequences and stakes when necessary, too. So no one is trying to set out to kill you. They're just trying to make it close and you know, dangerous. Mm-hmm. And that's the fine line that DMs also have to walk. Your friends also have to walk. So.
Right.
Cool. Really dig that. We don't talk a whole lot about, like, we've spent a shocking amount of our lives, PJ, together talking about like game theory and game design, especially with Tim Olson. And I can't, we don't talk about it enough, kind of in some ways, like,
yeah,
for the amount of thought and time that we put into it. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Day 9, for all of that, that informal schooling. All right. Moving on to the next one. This one we don't have a name for immediately, but we'll hear from them now.
Hey, Gross. Hey, BJ. Long time listener, I guess. I don't know. Since around like Dark Age, maybe. I guess just a question. So I've read pretty much everything you cover on the show. I've read all of First Law, all of H Madness, all of Red Rising, all of Mistborn, all of Stormlight. I know you haven't gotten there yet, but you know, soon. And all of the Greenbone Saga, I guess. If you have any book recommendations, would love to hear it. And then questions specifically for Cross. Pretty much like I'm in the process of writing my first book. I guess, I don't know. Got any recommendations? Let me know. Thanks for all you do. All the laughs, all the weird conspiracies. Yeah, I don't know. Have a nice day.
Recommendations is what I'm thinking about. You've got a couple things, but I just have recommendations.
And then there's also the, you know, like, you know, recommendations on writing too, kind of tucked in there. Recommendations for things to read that you may not have outside of the things that you had mentioned. I would definitely recommend The Poppy War if you haven't read it. It's a trilogy of books that is sort of an alternate history take on the Japanese or the Sino-Japanese War that is excellent and haunting, I would say. If you can tolerate, if you've made it through all of First Law, then you have the skin for that series, if that makes sense, or like thick enough skin for what happens. It is a brutally violent series because that was the reality of that war. It mirrors it very directly. So that would be probably like top of mind recommendation. I've been reading lately The Sun Eater. I'm in book 6. It's a lovely science fiction series. I've mentioned it a number of times on the podcast recently. Highly recommend that one as well. We'll get to it eventually too. So, you know, one of those, one of these days. There's a number of things kind of on that list. Yeah. Oh, and The Dark Tower, because it's my favorite book series ever. And you didn't say that in your little list there. The journey to the tower and back again is a whole thing. So,
yeah. Crossland, we've talked about this several times, so you may have heard of the series, you may have even read it without having mentioned it in the voicemail, but Crossland got me into this through Blake Crouch's Recursion and Dark Matter, and I'm going to tack on Upgrade as well, his newest released book. All three fantastic science fiction novels. Similarly, in that same sort of vein, Rob Hart, who we've mentioned on the show, we've had on the show.
We will have on the show again in the near future.
Paradox Hotel is phenomenal. The Warehouse is great. Those two authors, anything by them.
Yeah, excellent recommendations. And that should give you like a good spread too. As far as writerly advice goes, The thing that I generally recommend to people is, A, I'm not an expert. I'm a learning writer myself. But I generally have like this holy Bible of like book recommendations that I suggest for people of whom are getting into writing. You can definitely bog yourself down with way too much process and way too much research into how people do things. And so what I recommend is just 3+1 books. I'll explain why in a moment here. So the first book that I'm definitely going to recommend you also read first is Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott. This book is all about ensuring and giving you sort of permission to put everything onto the page that you may need to get out, kind of like you're exercising a demon of sorts, and like gives you permission basically to deal with what you need to for getting a book out. Highly recommend it. It's great. Shitty First Drafts, Bird by Bird, all of that kind of collectively is a big part of that segmentation. A lot of my like little tiny strategies of how to deal with my own nuances and how I like sit down and write also came from that book. Second book, On Writing by Stephen King, part biography and part writing advice. I think that it has a lot of solid rules in it that are just excellent for how to formulate and start a story and consider characters and just some like essential things, maybe that you don't need to take 100% of them away as fact in the way to do something, but they get your brain spinning in the right way to think about how you're constructing a story and what works best for you. King is a pantser, meaning that he writes sort of with just an idea and a character in mind and then goes. A lot of people require outlines and other things like that. So very quickly, what's nice about On Writing is you can take the advice or you can see that you're the opposite. But at the very least, one of the most important lessons from that book is that it's an individual process and you kind of have to work that out on your own. And that's one of the big takeaways on as to like how that functions. Highly recommend. Both of those books are like 250 pages. So they're quick reads. Both are excellent on audiobook as well. So I read those two books once a year, every year. The third book is Consider This by Chuck Palahniuk. It is the best book on writing that exists. It has the most literal lessons. So while the other two are almost more figurative thought processes and like, you know, trying to get you into the mode of writing, Consider This is lessons that you otherwise may not have considered in the craft of writing. It is like details and thoughts on how to create tension, where to start and like where origination begins and germination, and then providing like solid examples, both in pieces of media that you've probably experienced or probably should experience in one way or another. And it is a masterclass wherein you just learn a lot about some techniques that you can add to your writing to increase it. I can tell you confidently of those three books, Bird by Bird gave me permission to write, On Writing gave me direction, Consider This sharpened my pencil. And I think that that's why I consider that sort of the trilogy of books that are the most important. The point one book here is The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And that book is, or Nobody Wants to Read Your Shit, those are the two books. He kind of wrote like this mini series of quasi inspirational novels, but nonfiction pieces that dictates the voice of resistance and this idea of what holds us back from writing and created it like a creature that manifests. You don't have writer's block. You just have anticipation for so many other things that you want to pursue and do. And so you feel this natural resistance. He put it into a form and a word, and it's not necessary unlike the other three, but it is a great augmentator. When you run into a wall, it will help you run through the next brick wall. And every time you run into it again, you just pick up that book and you're like, all right, got to remind myself of what my resistances are. And then you read it and you're like, okay, get out of my dumb lizard brain now. And you move on from there. So long-winded answer, but that's my advice, is to read those books.
Perfect.
Oh, and just try to write quasi-consistently, you know, find time. AML mod details, that stuff, but you know. Mm-hmm. I do 300 words every 2 days. That's my like minimum goal. And that's what I do. So
awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for that question. Longtime listener. Big fan of you for listening to us for so long. That brings us to our final voicemail here from Forbidden Donut / Adam. So here we go.
Hey guys, I'm Adam. You guys know me as Forbidden Donut in the Discord. The only question I had to posit was how long you intended to run the show after everything in the near future. After listening to your Dune Part 2, Part 1 special, I hear that hopefully it's for many years to come. That's great news because you, Cross, and PJ, and the whole Words and Whiskey team have made such a positive impact in my life. I've been a longtime listener since Red Rising Episode 2, which I believe was your third episode ever. At the time, I was undergoing my second read-through of the saga, and I knew I wanted to be part of that journey with you guys. You guys have helped me to become a better reader, and I actually think, at this point, BJ is a better reader than I am. I've always been the most avid reader in my family, but that's not much to say when no one else in my family reads, with the exception of maybe two or three in my family of 60, extended family, of course. That's to say, is congrats to PJ, because I know the whole point of this podcast was for PJ to become more an avid reader himself. So I'm really happy for you, PJ. Anyways, thanks so much to the entire Words and Whiskey team and community for being such stellar people. You guys have no idea the positive impact you guys have made on me. Thank you.
That was incredibly... Yeah. Go ahead.
That was so nice. That was a really nice voicemail. I think we're going to be doing this for a while. I think there are a lot of books that we will be able to cover.
Yeah, I did some like vague math the other day, in the seconds between recording before and now. And I was trying to work out like actually how many more episodes do we probably have just in the existing things that I like super want to cover. And we've talked about this before, like, you know, there may be times where there may be an end to this where we move to like a monthly show and, you know, talk about one book at a time, or we do it however frequently we want or whatever. But this in particular, we've got like 150, I think, like on the record, or like 160 episodes on the record, basically, that we would have to do to get through things that we've talked about and kind of committed to by and large. So thank you for listening since episode 3. That's huge. We sounded like shit back then. We've talked a lot about that.
We're working on that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a current project with Andrew and I that we're going through right now. So that sounds better. As better as we could make it. I mean, it's not going to sound as good as it does now because we can't like fix the mics or anything, but you know, doesn't need to be so quiet, for instance.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But thank you. Thank you so much for all the kind words. It truly means the world to us. I think collectively that so many people listen to us first and foremost and that appreciate kind of the thoughts and ideas, but also have been along for this kind of weird ride, right? I mean, by all accounts, I talked earlier about how we kind of spun out of COVID and devs and 2020 and Kingslingers, but it is also different than any of those existing ideas, because often those the friends are just ignorant to the series in particular that they're covering or what have you. In your case, and I don't mean ignorant in any sort of negative way, in your case, you just didn't read. And so it's an entirely new medium. And so there's this other side of this broaching. And I appreciate that people appreciate that. And that now, because we've moved from some of the bigger series to some small series and kind of back and forth, we're having people follow along with us into things that they've never read before. And that's
a lot of fun.
Pretty awesome. So,
yeah. Yeah, that feels pretty
very, good. Very appreciative. There. So thank you, Adam. And thanks everyone who contributed to this episode. We've got just a question or two here to wrap up with. So
if you find that we have missed your question, I sincerely apologize. We feel like we've hit all of them that we've been able to find, but if we missed it, we are very sorry. Point it out to us. We will answer them to you directly. And I'm sorry that it didn't make it onto the show.
Yeah. We will, not only will we like answer back directly, but we can tag in some bonus answers at the end of episodes. So also we're going to keep the voicemail number alive. So if you ever want to call in and leave like a question or something like that for a discussion point or anything like that in post of a moment on the episode, feel free to give us a buzz at any point. So we'll just be throwing that episode or that number out at the end of episodes. So cool. All right. So the question that I have here is a secondary question from our buddy Dylan. The pre-MCU early aughts were a time of insane soundtracks for movies, where pop punk bands would even occasionally write original music for soundtracks. Pick a series that we've covered on the show and give it your dream soundtrack. Note, it can include original songs of your own creation by bands of your choice.
This is a complicated answer to drop on me without having let me see it ahead of time, Crossland.
It is. The question that we have to start with, I think, is like, what book would we want to build a soundtrack for if it were adapted, right? Like, which one do you want to choose there? And let's start from there.
I mean, I feel like for the breadth of what the soundtrack could be, Red Rising would be so cool.
I feel like that's the right answer. Yeah. Because needle drops wouldn't feel fully out of place versus, you know, like a First Law, they would feel probably very out of place. So Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want to let's just say Dark Age, and let's maybe just pick a couple of moments, a couple of songs, pretty simply, or bands that you would conscribe.
Man, we need some Coheed.
Coheed and Dark Age.
Some Coheed and Cambria. Coheed and Dark Age. Take that and run with it, Crossland. I'm blanking.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would really like Coheed. I think that Coheed would do a great job for a number of the big moments. I mean, Hell and Iron Rain moment. For me, one of the first bands that came to mind was the electronic band Pendulum for Dark Age, and for sort of like the Battle of the Ladon in general. Something very either witchcraft or island-like for those moments, just sort of like the pulse beating, racing across the sands sort of stuff. I can totally see Pendulum doing a great job.
I could see something like that.
It's tough to not say Star Set, you know, whenever I'm thinking really Red Rising, because it just kind of matches. Were you? Damn it. I didn't mean to steal it from
no,
you.
No, no, I wasn't going to, but that is such a perfect pairing. Like, they have their own lore, and it matches pretty well.
it works. It works.
I guess it works is better than it matches, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's good, and I think that it could totally work. So, I'm a fan of that choice.
Then there are... Like, anytime Apollonius is on screen, it'll be... something classical and something really well, really like, yeah, like just something complicated.
Okay.
Something complicated. I dig and that. Orchestral.
I dig that. I like that poll. I'm trying to think of something in particular for Ephraim, right? Because I feel like we inadvertently Battle of Ladon, stuff like that. We got like Darrow and Lysander covered. Mm-hmm. What's the stuff that we've playing with Ephraim?
I mean, I think we give that War Pigs. Like we give them like AC/DC.
Oh yeah, I dig it. I mean, he's pretty sad, so like, you know, I can understand people being like leaning in that direction too. But
yeah,
yeah. Imagine like a slowed War Pigs. You know what I mean? Like a Mad World esque. Ben.
Oh, we could do the oh no cut from Girl Talk.
I know what you're talking.
It's War Pigs and what's the other song in it?
Yeah.
My keyboard's too clicky, Crossland. Can you look it up?
God, I haven't heard the song in so long. Get out the way. What's the song? Oh, I Move Bitch by Ludacris.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah.
That could be a good Ephraim song.
Honestly, Oh No Straight Up could be a great Ephraim song. What a rip off the top of your noggin. I haven't thought about that song in such a long time.
I'll talk in a long time, but
yeah, no joke. They were excellent. We used to listen to a lot of Girl Talk along with that was when we were listening to a lot of like sampled rappers at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like back when G-Eazy was heavily sampled and was like going for like a 60s tone and sound. Early Hoodie Allen as well, you know, had a lot of older pulls and then also some like pop punk influences, some modern day stuff. But yeah, Girl Talk was great.
Yeah. Otherwise, Run the Jewels, maybe?
Ooh. Okay. I like Run the Jewels for F. I think especially if we were going Iron Gold, having a little RTJ in there would be good. But like, you imagine sort of anything that takes place in the snowball, and it could totally be like Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lyria, I want to propose Sleigh Bells.
Interesting.
give Lyria riot rhythm.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Sleigh Bells, huh?
What were you gonna
say? For anyone who doesn't know, Sleigh Bells, that's spelled S-L-E-I-G-H-B-E-L-L-S. Not just like sleigh bells jingling, for the record.
And that's how you spell sleigh bells.
What?
Like my jingling sleigh bells, like one horse open sleigh.
No, you're right. Why did I think it was S-L-A-Y? Why did my brain do that?
Sleigh bells is much more brutal with S-L-A-Y.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. I don't. Dumb. Mm-hmm. Yep. Nope. We corrected a pathway in my brain right there that otherwise is not the same. All right.
Man.
I don't know if I love that pick. It's kind of where I'm at.
That's fair.
It is very Riot Girl, though, which is an interesting choice.
I guess you could go like Paramore.
I feel like that's going too hard into the like girl power thing, and I don't think that's like Lyria's character. If
that's
that makes
true,
sense. I mean, not that Paramore is. I just mean like the way that would be evocative on screen. Like,
yeah,
I love Paramore to death.
Totally fair.
I would go Sleigh Bells before Paramore probably, but I would. Who the hell? I kind of want like. Maybe this is weird of me, but based on where she's at, I kind of want like a plucked guitar sort of tone. Like a simpler, lighter vibe for a lot of Lyria. Obviously, she would also have a lot of like sweeping soundtrack behind her. But if there was a like drop-in song, I'd wanted something a little bit more plucked and calm and quiet, like a Hayley Williams solo track or like a, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we can settle with Hayley Williams and Sleigh Bells as sort of like a, you know, high energy, low energy versions of songs. The final pick then is Mustang.
Oh, we're not doing Sevro?
We got to do Sevro. We got to do Sevro. I was just thinking POV characters, but you're right. We probably, okay, here's our final three, just so that we can consider each of them.
What did we pick for Darrow?
We did like Darrow with like the first like barrage of songs we give to Darrow and Lysander, like Coheed, yeah. Star Set.
I like that this turned
all of
into
that
like
is theirs.
Just character centric like themes.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Okay, so Sevro, Atlas, and Mustang.
Okay.
Atlas, Adelaidea. We'll just like tie them together.
Yeah.
Like the bad guys. As
and
it
I
were,
feel like I feel like Mustang and Victra can probably live in a similar space too.
Oh God, no, actually we need to give Victra a moment. Sevro's not even in this book, basically, so
yeah,
we don't really need
fair.
To give Sevro anything. But
okay.
I mean, if you want to, we can.
I just imagine Sevro with the used.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I like that. Give me some artwork era used.
Yeah, I was specifically thinking like Bird and the Worm.
Oh, sure.
Just for the
range. I like
of
a little
like,
bit more industrial because that's what he's into.
But so is Bird and the Worm. It's industrial, but it's also like it gets quiet and it gets screamy and it kind of meanders quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of what's his music called in Lightbringer? Do you recall off the top of your head?
Shit, what
right?
is it called?
It's like a specific genre, like subgenre.
Yeah, but it was a subgenre blending several non-existent genres.
Yes, right. I'm not. What I'm saying is like I would lean more in like the artwork direction because I think that that's more like that's more of
or
a fusion
like
and
Nine Inch Nails.
You could, yeah. He would definitely listen to Nine Inch Nails. That's not even a question. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So Sevro has Nails, which is of a lot of the bands we've listed. My favorite. So that's just like a side note.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So with Sevro having that leaves us or like whittles us down to the baddies and Mustang and Victra. Sorry, we're going to do Victra too because she's got a lot of mourning kind of in this with Odysseus and whatnot.
Ulysses.
Sorry, not Odysseus. Yeah, Ulysses.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I don't know if Gaelic folk necessarily fits, but it feels like it could.
Like, I feel like that would be shared with Lyria, right? And like in those moments,
yeah,
right? Like that would be a good backing track. No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying like they're spending a lot of that time together. So I feel like that would work, especially we're seeing so many reds, things like that. I think that works. My band pick or pitch was Manchester Orchestra. Like the like particularly like quieter, more brooding into the like loud aggressive. So
yeah, Black Mile, right?
Probably Black Mile. I would probably use something like The Silence, which is the final track on Black Mile, as an example of like, you know, the sort of build that I'd be looking for.
I like that.
I think that works for Victra. you know, and Rilo Kiley as like a singer on top of that, as opposed to Andy Hull, you know, just to swap out for a female voice that I think would fit that. Cool. All right. So that leaves us with the baddies and Mustang.
Yeah. I feel like Atlas, despite his, or in spite of, I think, his very meticulous planning and organization, some just chaos, trash jazz.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going in such a different direction, and you're not ready for it. I'm thinking Atlas listens to like 90s Third Eye Blind, like summer trash pop rock.
Oh,
Matchbox 20, Third Eye Blind.
All right. Okay. Why? Defend it. Why?
Because he is, as stated like later in Lightbringer, of course, he's a pretty happy individual, right? Like he's frustrated, of course, with position and a number of other things, and like, but in reality, he's pretty grounded in the things that he believes in. And I could see him retaining a weird taste, which is also why I like the fusion jazz answer, for the record. But like, I could see him retaining like a weird taste and listening to that despite the violence. Just imagine Atlas cutting down and recommending impaling people while listening to Semi Charmed Life. You know what I mean? Like, and that's all you need to know. That's like an early aughts soundtrack choice. That is our most early aughts soundtrack choice so far.
God, I
didn't know pre-cooking on this. This is all off the dome.
It's just going to be so discongruous on screen.
Exactly. I think that is kind of what you want for Atlas, because he is like two different people almost. Mm-hmm. I almost said like musical music, like he would be listening to like Into the
like
Woods
show tunes.
Or something like that. Show tunes, yeah. Because that would give the same sort of discordant note. But then Third Eye Blind came to me and I was like, I can't let that one go.
I hate you. all right, I can get behind that. I don't know if I agree with it, but I'll get behind it.
I mean, I would say like the agreeable middle ground is maybe show tunes, because that would get into like the weird jazzy. It's more realistic. It would feed into other things.
Just,
you know,
listens to the Newsies soundtrack, and that's it.
Just the Newsies soundtrack, and it's always the same song. Oh man, that gives me Iron Man flashbacks, and also fully tracks with that. Speaking of, if we're adding in random music into the middle of this, we would add a Billy Talent song somewhere in here.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That works.
Our favorite Canadians.
One of our favorite Canadians. There's
probably
a lot of good Canadians.
Okay.
Virginia. Instrumental piano?
Not bad. I like that.
Because, I mean, you can get such an incredible range with it. I selfishly want to say something like Apocalyptica, just straight up cello quartets that have.
Well, it's
really
like 2000.
Range.
So we're suggesting like bad answers. You know what I mean? Like these are good and bad answers as like a part of that. So I like Apocalyptica. My recommendation, if I were to create said soundtrack or, you know, whatever, I would say whatever Lyria listens to should be pretty close to what Mustang listens to, just from like a good juxtaposition in the story. Not
okay.
Identical. So like that soft, whatever we recommend for her should be close, but not identical. Mirroring, you know, sharing similar themes perhaps in its composition. But.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Any other thoughts, ideas?
I like the Apocalyptica pick. I think that's good. Honestly. Like, I was just saying, you know, for another completely wild out there pitch. Bonus round Kavax?
Bonus round Kavax. Hymns?
Hymns. Interesting. I like that.
He's the only gold that we've heard of evoking anything remotely religious in telling the stories of the Nazarene.
Yeah, you're right. Good call. I was thinking you meant him, like His Infernal Majesty, the rock band from the early 2000s.
No.
And so, but you meant HYMMS. Okay. Yeah, no, I could see him. That's a good, that's also interesting, also good. for completely different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, those are not the same.
Yeah, yeah. You were like, him. I heard like him, and I was like, oh yeah, him. Okay.
I don't even know
about, like,
him.
Dance Gavin Dance, and that's where my brain went for some reason. I was like, that's not right.
No, I don't think that's right at all.
I do like hymns. I like something that has like a more meditative. Well, he's not super meditative. That's the other thing.
No.
Like he like Reliant K. Yeah, there we go.
He likes good. Christian rock. He likes early 2000s Christian rock.
Yeah, yeah. Or the Postal Service.
All right. All right.
Or just Viva La Vida on loop. That's it.
That's good.
Yep. Oh, man. Well, that was a fun question. I figured to end this whole thing on, by and large. I've been hanging on to that one for a good conclusion. So, cool. Anything else that you want to add in here at the end here, PJ, for listeners and people?
I am just very, very appreciative of everyone's continued support and attention. And I look forward to the next several hundred episodes to talk about all these stories. They're great.
Yeah, they're super, super excellent thus far. And I hope you agree with that after we... Man, PJ, there's no fear. Like, the end of a story for me is like, did PJ, like, is he going to like it? Because that, like, determines whether or not we just wasted 4 months.
Even if I don't like it at some point, I don't think it'll be a waste. I think it'll still be good.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm very appreciative not only of you for putting up with my antics in every way, shape, and form, but also just everyone giving us a shot, you know, and over the years we've been mostly consistent, but dealing with things when they otherwise go wrong or sideways sometimes for a week. And just the consistent support. Thank you to all of our patrons, of whom have been massive supporters of us throughout this entire process of going through everything. Yeah, it's been a massive deal to us, all the support over the years.
Been amazing.
Yeah, very, very lucky. Okay, I had just one other thing, which is next week we are going to be returning to Before They Are Hanged. And with that, we are going to be reading chapters Allies Through Fear.
See you then.
Perfect. See you then. Super excited. Oh, you should follow us on social media. You should know this. This is episode 200. If you haven't found it yet, it's Words Whiskey Pod or Words Whiskey Show. Whoa, burp. Oh, it's, man, I've been drinking for so long this episode. Wow, that was, oh, God. Am I even the same person anymore? Crazy. But again, you can find us, Words and Whiskey, nearly anywhere that you're looking for us. More active on Threads lately, you know, resharing things there. Only other recommendation, go see Civil War. Leave us a 5-star review. If you haven't at this point, what are you doing? What are you doing? You just listened to us talk for 4 hours.
At least.
Conservatively.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys later.